pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Respected elders, revered and learned speakers of the day, brothers and sisters of the Sai family, loving Sai Ram and Guru Purnima greetings to one and all. This morning, on the eve of the Guru Purnima celebrations, we commenced a symposium on a very significant and relevant topic for the current times, unity of faiths. We had two very learned scholars sharing their insights and wisdom with all of us. We had Professor Akhtarul Wasi, Head Department of Islamic Studies, Jamia Millia Islamia, New Delhi, who took us along a very interesting journey with deep insights and sacred ideals laid down in Islam, drawing several parallels with Hinduism and many other religions. We then had His Holiness Swami Dayananda Saraswati Ji, a distinguished traditional teacher of Vedanta, sharing the profound wisdom of Vedanta in very simple language with all of us. We have two speakers for this evening session. Before I introduce the first speaker for the evening session, let us commence the program listening again to our beloved Bhagwan speaking on this theme of unity of faiths. We will now have an excerpt from a discourse given by Bhagwan on the 14th of February 1999, where he emphasizes that love is the undercurrent of all religions.
Therefore, is a true Christian if he grows and cultivates the harvest of love in the field of his heart.
క్రిస్టియన్ అంటే వాడు ఐడియల్ క్రిస్టియన్ గా తయారు కావాలి.
Therefore a Christian should be an ideal Christian.
అనగా అప్పుడు తన యొక్క హృదయంలో ప్రేమ పంటను పండించుకోవాలి.
And then you find the harvest, the crop of love.
అతనే నిజమైనటువంటి క్రైస్తవుడు.
And he is a true Christian in spirit.
ఇంకా సిక్కులు అనగా ఎవరు అనుకున్నారు?
Then who are Sikhs?
టర్బన్ కట్టుకుని గత్తె పెట్టుకుని ఇదిగా చేసుకున్నటువంటి వాడు కాదు.
Not the one wearing the turban and having the sword.
తన హృదయమందు ప్రేమ పంటను పండించుకున్నప్పుడే వాడు సిక్కులుగా తయారవుతాడు.
He's a true Sikh if he has got this crop in the yield of love in the field of his heart.
కనుక సరైనటువంటి సిక్కు ఎవరంటే ప్రేమతో మయమైనటువంటి వాడే.
So a true Sikh is full of love.
ప్రేమ స్వరూపుడిగా అయినటువంటి వాడే సిక్కు.
Sikh is the very embodiment of love.
పరులను చంపటము, పరుల పోవటము, పరులను బాధించడము కాదు సిక్కుల యొక్క లక్షణం.
It's not the quality of a true Sikh killing the other man and having the other one to
Hindu suffer. ఎవరని?
Then who are Hindus then?
ఆ హిందూ కుడు అతనే.
And he's a very Hindu himself.
హృదయమందు ప్రేమ పంటను పండించుకుని వాడే హైందవుడు.
He is a true Hindu if he cultivates this crop of love.
కానీ ఆ ప్రేమ పంట ఎక్కడ లేదు.
That crop is not found.
ప్రేమ విత్తనాలు కూడా నాటటం లేదు.
In fact, he is not sowing the seeds of love. How do you expect the crop?
ఇలాంటి ప్రేమ లేనటువంటి మానవుడు హిందూ అని చెప్పడానికి ఎట్ట సాధ్యమవుతుంది?
How do you call him a Hindu if he has no love in him?
నేను అప్పుడే చెప్పాను. హెచ్ఎన్గా హ్యూమిలిటీ.
హెచ్ స్టాండ్స్ ఫర్ హ్యూమానిటీ.
అదే మానవత్వము.
దాట్ ఈస్ హ్యూమానిటీ.
ఐ ఇండివిజువాలిటీ.
I individuality.
N nationality.
N nationality.
D divinity.
D divinity.
U unity.
U unity.
The
one with these five qualities is a true Hindu. These five qualities are not found in us.
ఇలాంటప్పుడు మనం హిందూ అని ఎత్తి చెప్పుకోగలం.
దెన్ హౌ కెన్ వి కాల్ అవర్ సెల్ఫ్ హిందూ?
ఇవన్నింటి ఎందుకు అంతర్వాహినిగా ప్రవహించేటువంటిదే ప్రేమ.
ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ ఇస్ ద లవ్ విచ్ గోస్ విచ్ రన్స్ యాజ్ అన్ అండర్ కరెంట్.
కనుక ఇట్టి ప్రేమతత్వమే మానవుని ఎందుకు పండించుకోకుండా నేను హిందూ హిందూ అనుకుంటే ఎట్టి హిందూ ఒక అర్థం?
విదౌట్ ది స్పిరిట్ ఆఫ్ లవ్ హౌ కెన్ యూ కాల్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ ఏ హిందూ?
కనుకనే హిందూ అనేటువంటి వాడు కూడా ప్రేమతో మయమైనటువంటి వాడే.
సో ఏ ట్రూ హిందూ షుడ్ బి ది ఎంబోడిమెంట్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
ఇంకా ముస్లిం.
దెన్ ముస్లిం.
ఈ ముస్లిం కూడా ప్రేమ పంటను పండించుకునేటువంటి వాడే.
ముస్లిం ఆల్సో ఇస్ ద రెసిపియంట్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
ముస్లిం.
ముస్లిం.
వీరిని దీనికి ఇంకొక అర్థం కూడా ఉంటుండాలి.
ఇట్ హస్ అనదర్ మీనింగ్.
వాడు అల్లా అని పిలుస్తాడు.
అండ్ హీ కాల్స్ గాడ్ యాజ్ అల్లా.
అల్లా అనగా ఏంటి? దేవుడు అనే అర్థము.
అల్లా మీన్స్ గాడ్.
గ్రేట్.
గ్రేట్
అనగా గొప్పవాడు అని. అల్లాహో అక్బర్. అక్బర్ అనగా పెద్దవాడు, గొప్పవాడు.
అల్లాహు అక్బర్ గాడ్ ద గ్రేట్
గొప్పవాడు
గ్రేటెస్ట్
ఎవడు భగవంతుడు
గ్రేటెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ఇస్ గాడ్ హింసెల్ఫ్
భగవంతుడు గొప్పవాడే
గాడ్ ఇస్ గ్రేట్
ఇస్లాం అనగా ఏమిటి
వాట్స్ మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ ఇస్లాం
శాంతంగా జీవితాన్ని గడిపేటువంటి వాడే ఇస్లాం
ఇస్లాం వాంట్స్ ఎవ్రీవన్ టు లీడ్ ది లైఫ్ ఆఫ్ పీస్
ఈ శాంతం ఎప్పుడు మనకు ప్రారంభమవుతుంది
When do you remain in peace?
Premato hrudayam nindinappude shantam manlo aavirbhavistundi.
When the heart is full of love, you will be peaceful.
Kalukune premale lekunda shanti anetundi manaku labhyam kaadu.
Without love, you cannot be peaceful.
Kaluka prati jati yandu, prati matam yandu, prati vyakti yandu kodanu ప్రేమమయమైనటువంటి హృదయం కావాలి
దేర్ ఫోర్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ పర్సన్ ఆఫ్ ఎనీ రిలీజన్ ఆఫ్ ఎనీ కాస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఎనీ క్రీడ్ హార్ట్ షుడ్ బి ఫుల్ ఆఫ్ లవ్
భగవాన్ ఆల్వేస్ స్ట్రెసెస్ దట్ దర్ ఇస్ ఓన్లీ వన్ రిలీజన్ ద రిలీజన్ ఆఫ్ లవ్ జీసస్ డిక్లేర్డ్ డౌ షాల్ లవ్ దై నేబర్ యాజ్ దై సెల్ఫ్ లవ్ ఇన్ జైనిజం ఇస్ ఎక్స్ప్రెస్ త్రూ ఫోర్ ఫార్మ్స్ ఆఫ్ పబ్లిక్ కాండక్ట్ టు యాక్ట్ కైండ్లీ వితౌట్ రివార్డ్స్ To rejoice at the well-being of others, to relieve the suffering of others, and to have compassion for criminals. Unless love manifests itself as sensitivity to the needs and concerns of our fellow beings, we cannot be called truly religious, let alone being spiritual. It was the year 2000, Bhagwan was immensely pained by a trivial article that appeared in a small column in a newspaper. In a remote village, there was a mother who could not feed her children on account of dire poverty, and she had given poison to her two children and drunk the poison herself. Swami was so pained. He raised a question to all the devotees seated in this very hall and asked, "Should such an incident ever happen in this land of Bharat, which is a Punya Bhumi, a Tyaga Bhumi, a Karma Bhumi, and a Yoga Bhumi?" Bhagwan said such tragedy should never happen anywhere else and he resolved to bring succor to these poor people in the villages and we all know that this was the beginning of the unique initiative called the Sri Satya Sai Grama Seva which is now an institutionalized activity not just in Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning where it took birth but in all the Sri Satya Sai centers across the globe. Love, reaching out to others, rather to one's own self in others, is true religion. The super speciality hospital started by Bhagwan is also an expression of his divine love for humanity. When these hospitals started functioning in 1990s, people were stunned to witness world-class healthcare being offered totally free of cost to whoever needed it. And I recall one evening in the Mandir Veranda, there was an elderly senior devotee, a businessman, who knelt down and he prayed to Bhagwan. He said, "Swami, what you have accomplished through these hospitals, nobody in the world has accomplished. It will serve as a great case study for providing free healthcare to all." Bhagwan smiled, patted him, and Bhagwan said in his own unique way, "Bangaru, this is not a case study of free healthcare for all. This is a case study of love." I now have the pleasure of inviting the first speaker for this evening session, Father Dominic Emmanuel. Reverend Father Dominic Emmanuel, spokesman and director, Delhi Catholic Archdiocese, holds a number of degrees to his credit. He completed his Bachelor of Philosophy and Bachelor of Theology from Pune, Bachelor of Arts from Indore, and Bachelor of Education from Gujarat. He then completed his Master of Communication from Manila, Philippines. In 1991, he completed his PhD in Social Communication from the University of Westminster, London. Father Dominic began his career as a rector at St. Thomas Seminary, India. He then served as coordinator and radio program producer at Deutsche Welle Radio in Germany, Radio Veritas Asia, Manila, and was a freelancer at the BBC World Service in London. He further served as a part-time lecturer in the Faculty of Communication and Languages in University of Westminster, the National Institute of Social Communication Research and Training in New Delhi, and the Vidya Jyoti Theological College in New Delhi. From 1998 onwards, Father Dominic served as a spokesperson for the Delhi Catholic Archdiocese, and from 1999 onwards, he served as a member of the Media Studies Committee, YMCA, New Delhi. In 2002, he became the spokesman for the Catholic Bishops Conference Center, and during this period, he hosted a weekly television panel discussion program on Jain TV called Voice of Christianity, which aired 230 episodes. He has been working for communal harmony for the past two decades and has been in the service of interreligious dialogue. He has been actively involved in resolving conflicts, differences between different communities. He also participated in the Sadbhavana Yatras in the aftermath of the Gujarat riots in 2002. His literary works include 14 books on subjects covering value education for school children and communal harmony. He has contributed to articles in academic journals and books, and also presented academic papers and participated in both national and international seminars. Apart from his academic contributions, he has also participated in a number of programs, conventions, seminars and conferences on a variety of themes relating to religion, communication, media, HIV/AIDS and other social issues. He has written nearly 200 articles on various topics in Indian national dailies and has given several radio and TV talks and interviews. Father Dominic is very interested in acting and directing, stage plays, reading, writing and sports. He has produced a number of telefilms, and he has also been the brainchild behind the Bollywood film Aisa Kyun Hota Hai that combines the Bollywood ingredients of entertainment with education to create entertainment with a message. Father Dominic Emmanuel was awarded the National Communal Harmony Award in 2008 by the Government of India. We now have the pleasure to listen to Reverend Father Dominic Emmanuel.
Respected spirit of Swami Sai Baba, who is not physically present with us, but his spirit is with us, so he is with us. Respected trustees of the trust here, and brothers and sisters. I'm indeed very grateful to the trustees here for having invited me to this Unity of Faiths festival. This is indeed a great honor, and I can't take the names of everybody, but I am grateful to Dr. Srinivasan, who wrote to me, as well as Dr. Chima from Delhi, who made his first contact with me about this festival. And I also thank Dr. Rangarajan, the Vice Chancellor of the university, who then came and explained to me. So I thank everybody, and I learned that this Unity of Faiths festival is also celebrated in England, in London, every year. And that's a wonderful thing, so that we know that this festival is not restricted just to Puttaparthi, but it has already expanded into the shores beyond India. I would like to begin my presentation with the book that I have actually gone through at least twice by the Nobel laureate Dr. Professor Amartya Sen. The title of the book is The Argumentative Indian. The Argumentative Indian. At first, the title sounds a bit derogatory or negative, but as one starts reading the book, one gets very deeply immersed in how he presents what he's saying. The basic point of the book is something which is quite obvious and which is being proved by Dr. Amartya Sen by using ancient history of the Indian subcontinent. It is that the Indian culture has always encouraged various points of views, has given birth to some of the greatest religions of the world, and has not only welcomed some other great religions into this land like Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Zoroastrianism and others, but has let them prosper here. He then quotes how the then Prime Minister of Britain, Churchill, had predicted that an independent India would not at all survive as one nation, because there were several nations within this one country on the basis of languages, cultures, religions, and so on. Not only now, Amrita Sen proves how Churchill has been proved wrong as before, but many foreigners are amazed at the diversity, heterodoxy, that's how Amrita Sen would like to use the word, and he comes to that again and again, that this country exhibits to all the visitors. That is the wonder India is. And whoever, whether they are outsiders or forces from within the country, want to break this unity of India, will never succeed now or in future. India and Indians have been born into unity of India, and with all its other shortcomings and problems of poverty and backwardness and illiteracy, it will always stand as a shining example of unity in diversity for the rest of the world. Therefore, when I began to think on the topic of the symposium today called Unity of Faiths, I was a bit unsettled, and I will explain quickly. And as I will quote to you very soon the words of Swami Satya Sai Baba, who celebrated the diversity of this country, and this morning Dr. Rangarajan quoted profusely about how Sri Satya Sai Baba believed in the unity in diversity in a country. And I am told that this place celebrates all the festivals of all the religions here, and which is illustrated profusely all over this place, starting from the Chaitanya Jyoti Museum that I visited this morning, to, would you believe, the chair that is placed here. Those of you, as I can see from here, sitting from my side, I can see the side, there is a strip, steel or silver strip on the side of the chair, which has the symbols of all the religions, all the major religions. And it cannot escape from anybody's notice who comes with an open mind and an open heart that Swamiji spoke about unity. Now, why am I a bit unsettled? I am a bit unsettled because we talk about here unity of faith. Because Swamiji is clearly speaking about unity in diversity. And I will quote to you very soon from his own words, Swamiji's own words, how each religion needs to be respected and to be followed as the religion of that person. So, did Swamiji actually mean unity of faiths because he believed in diversity? Or, I would argue, did he speak or did he mean unity of the faithful? Instead of unity of faiths, I would say he would want unity of the faithful. In other words, if you want, unity of hearts. So we each follow our own religions, but we need to be united together in our hearts. I will proceed further to try and prove before you how he would have meant to achieve that, this unity of hearts and unity among the faithful, how he would have tried to achieve it. I am picking up just three of the five principles laid out by the Swamiji, which he always spoke of and that you know very well of, which is truth, satya, dharma, shanti, prema, ahimsa. I would also argue that prema and ahimsa actually overlap. Why? Because if you love somebody, you cannot harm that person. Come what may, the beloved can never be harmed. So, what we talk about then is unity of hearts and unity of the faithful. And I quote Swami Satya Sai Baba. He says, and I quote, "Let the different faiths exist. Let them flourish. Let the glory of God be sung in all languages in variety of tunes. That should be the ideal. Respect the differences between the faiths and recognize them as valid so far as they do not extinguish the flame of unity." Unity is the catchword. He says further, "Religion is of immense help in fostering the integral development of the human personality. It underlines the unity in diversity." These are his words. "True religion is the attainment of purity of mind and heart. Every religion has its own precepts and principles. Embodiments of the divine having come here, there is only one thing which is most vital for all of you to recognize and understand. Forgetting all differences of race, religion, caste, creed, disregarding considerations of class and community, you must feel that all of you are children of one God." Unquote. These are the words of Swamiji. And as his name was Satya, his first principle among the five principles that he propagated was truth. And interestingly, I find in the Bible, Jesus speaking about he being the truth, and in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 8, Jesus tells his disciples, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Wonderful words. The truth will make you free. I'm amazed that while Swami Sri Satya Sai Baba carried that name, in a way impersonified the truth by his own name, the first principle that he had among his five major principles was truth. We have our own father of the nation, Mahatma Gandhi, and you know very well that Mahatma Gandhi experimented with truth and finally came up with his book, My Experiments with Truth. And you know very well that Mahatma Gandhi called God is truth and truth is God. That was the stand. And so we find very wonderfully, beautifully how all these points of truth are reflected from Christianity to Satya Sai Baba, or Christianity to Mahatma Gandhi, or to Satya Sai Baba, or I am sure in many other religions. After truth, we come to a major point that the Swami emphasized. And it is not because I have read. Actually, if you just walk through this campus, the whole campus, what you read is love all, serve all. So simple, so beautiful, and yet so profound, so rich. Love all. And that actually encapsulates everything. I have a beautiful chapter that I will quickly read to you from the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians chapter 13, I just quickly read out this to you, how St. Paul, inspired by the life and the love of Jesus Christ, spoke and understood what love is. And I have found this for your information, and I will come to that when I visited the museum this morning and read things about and of Swami Satya Sai Baba. I find those things reflected exactly in the same way. And what does this letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians say? He says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give out all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Then what are the qualities of love? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. As Swamiji says, serve ever, hurt never. It never dishonors others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. I think you will find the reflection of that or resonance of that into what Swamiji always said. But where there are prophecies, they will cease or end. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. And then he goes further and he says, Now I know in part in my real earthly life. Then I shall know fully when I am gone from here, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain. Among all the things, three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is from the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. But in Christianity, we believe that love is all, and the source of all love is God. And unless we know and realize God's love and generosity in our lives first, we will not be able to love and serve others. God's love is manifested in Jesus Christ, who, by the sacrifice he makes of himself on the cross, is the highest sign of self-giving, self-sacrificing in love. St. Paul says, for a friend or for one who is your near one, it is easy to die. But to die for us when we are still sinners, that is the greatest love. I have seen in one of the subtitles of the Bible, subtitle, the greatest love story ever told. Because Bible gives us the story of God's love right from the moment of creation till we die. That is love. I do not know how much time I have, but I would like to quickly tell you about what Jesus tells us about God's love for us. And he gives us a beautiful parable of the prodigal son. Many of you may be familiar with it, the parable of the prodigal son, when a man had two sons and the younger son comes to the father and says, give me the share of my property. And the father, being generous, gives him the share of his property. This younger son of his goes to all kinds of bad ways and gambles and goes to prostitutes and everything and spends all the money that he has in evil doing. And then when he has finished everything, he has nowhere to go. He starts working as a servant in a farm. And then he realizes, no. He says, my father back home has got much more to give me than what I am doing here. So he goes back to his father. He goes back to his father. And the story in the gospel, as Jesus tells us, is that his father, whose property he had taken and gone away, is waiting for his return every day. Every evening, he stares out into the open thinking that his son will return. And return the son does. He does return after many, many years, unrecognizable because he's been spending and splurging his money on all bad things. And what does the father do? The son comes and asks for forgiveness from father. Father, forgive me for I have done all these wrongs. The father does not even listen to his forgiving murmuring. Does not bother at all. The father is happy that his son has come back. He orders a big festival for his son's return and says, let us celebrate. My son who was lost has come back. This is a long parable, but I will cut it short and say, Jesus says that this is how the Father loves us unconditionally. God loves us unconditionally wherever we are. Whatever we have been, we are acceptable by God. And let me just take a slight digression. This morning while we were visiting the museum, the director of the museum, poor chap, he has had an operation, his tooth is removed, so it was very painful for him to speak. But despite that, do you know, he told us, Professor Vasi was there, and Professor Mrs. Vasi and me, and he says, Father, Swamiji was like Jesus Christ. Never questioned anybody. Any sinner came from anywhere, he never questioned or condemned anybody. Everybody was accepted in his embrace. How beautiful. This morning, I heard it here. And he said it is like Jesus Christ. What a compliment. What a wonderful thing to become that great soul that he is. If he has appropriated in himself those great things, never to look at the sins of others. And what Jesus told us is that if you want people to be transformed, forget about their past, forget about their sins, accept them as they are. Something which Swami Dayanand Saraswati this morning was saying, self-acceptance, remember? He was talking about self-image, self-acceptance. That is, I have so many other stories from the New Testament about forgiveness. When people asked Jesus, how many times shall I forgive? 7 times? Jesus says, no, not 7 times. 70 times 7. And mind you, I will quote to you immediately what Swamiji said. Love lives by giving and forgiving. Self lives by getting and forgetting. Love can never entertain the idea of revenge, for it sees all others as oneself. When the teeth hurt the tongue, do you seek vengeance against the wrongdoer? No, for they both belong to you and are integral parts of your body. So too, when someone insults you or inflicts pain, allow your wisdom to guide you. Selfless love is the source of happiness, truth, peace, sacrifice, endurance, and all the higher values of life. There is no security and safety without prema, the absolute unalloyed form of love. Love is the most fundamental moral value. Unquote. Quote again from Swamiji, never give up love. Love should not be rationed based on caste, creed, economic status or intellectual attainment of the recipient. It should flow fully and freely regardless of consequence. For it is one's nature to love, to seek out the dry, dreary waste that love can water and make fertile. Love saturates all activities with joy and peace. Love enables the least and the lowest. Love yourself for the God that it embodies. Love others for the sake of God enshrined in them, who speaks and acts through them. Love is God, God is love. Where there is love, there God is certainly evident. There is such wonderful thing, and I sometimes feel honestly that when I read Swami Satya Sai Baba, I feel I am reading a commentary on the Bible. Maybe you know also that Ramakrishna Paramahansa, as well as Yogada Paramahansa, and I am familiar with the lives of both of them, I think you may be aware as well, that both of them experienced the closeness of Jesus, and Ramakrishna Paramahansa, if you know, founded the Ramakrishna Mission on the 24th of December, on the eve of the birth of Jesus. Because according to him, while he was sitting with his disciples in the evening, Ramakrishna Paramahansa, he saw the vision of Jesus Christ. And I don't know if you are aware, Yogada Paramahansa, whose center in Delhi is literally next to my office, and I visit that Yogada Kendra all the time, he has written 2 volumes on the revelations of Jesus Christ. 2 volumes on the revelations of Jesus Christ, as he was highly influenced by Jesus Christ. And I do not know too much about Satya Sai Baba, but I am inclined to believe, reading all that he has written, that like many other great men and women, he too is highly influenced by the teachings of Jesus Christ. And I continue, and I will conclude with my last part. I mentioned that I will just play on the 3 of the 5 principles of Swami Satya Sai Baba, of truth, dharma, peace, prem and ahimsa. I have picked up truth, prem and seva. Seva is of course with prem, because you read all over, serve all. And I know here so many hundreds of volunteers here who are serving us, who have come from all over. And the word they use always to us is, I have committed myself to seva. Seva of the Swami. But what seva? Seva of the Swami is not just coming here and decorating the mausoleum of the Swami, but that seva is expressed in that hospital which we visited today, the super speciality hospital, and all the other programs of service that the Satya Sai Baba Foundation works throughout India as well as abroad. I read somewhere here, I think in one of, either in the museum or, there's so much to take in here while you are going around, and he says somewhere, I don't know the exact words, but the meaning is, no use of praying through lips. It is your action of service, that will translate into prayer and into your devotion. And let me tell you that the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 25, one of our favorite and useful passages in the gospel. I will quickly read out to you, and this is explaining about the last judgment. That is, after we are dead, how will you and I, or very I at least, because I believe in the gospel, let me say it. How will I be judged? Whether I was good or not good on earth, I will be judged like this. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King, that is God or Jesus Christ, will say to those in His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in your house. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The King will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." Then He will say to those on His left, "Depart from you who are cursed into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat," etc., etc. And I don't read the whole thing. But what it basically means for us Christians, and I can see that very clearly reflected here all around as I walk and as I see with my own eyes, that you will be judged by how you have served the hungry, the poor, the naked, the sick, the prisoner, the stranger. That is unity of hearts. That is unity in faith. So I am going back to what I started with. I am not arguing about unity of faiths, because Baba himself has said, and we should respect all differences. I quoted to you, didn't I, from his own saying, that we respect the differences, the precepts. Each religion has its own precept. So we are not talking or desiring the uniformity amongst all faiths. The Baba does not want it. I don't think that is desired by anybody. That all people of different faiths come and have one, the unity of one faith. But all the faithful of different faiths have unity of heart through one basic principle of love. It is love that unites us. It is service that helps us to express our love towards brothers and sisters. Because otherwise, love will remain an abstract word. Love will remain only an abstract notion. We don't want it to be placed in a book gilded with gold and silver. No, we want this love to be expressed by our own brawn and by our own strength and by our own muscles and by whatever we have, we go out. And Swamiji means that we love and become one in heart mind and soul. May the divine spirit which abides in all of us descend upon us to inspire us not just to listen to the nice words that the great men and our great scriptures and great women have spoken and written, but let those words be imprinted on our hearts, on our minds, and our souls, so that we would be able to translate that love into action through service. Thank you.
Thank you, Father Dominic, for that very informative and inspiring presentation. Before I invite the final speaker for this one-day symposium on the unity of faiths, let us once again bask in the unity of the faithful. Let us once again bask in the nectarine voice of our Divine Master. We will now hear Bhagwan speaking to us on the principle of oneness, that is the primary teaching of all world religions. This is an excerpt from a discourse given by Bhagwan on the 25th of December, 1991.
శారీరకంగా కర్మరీతిలో భిన్నముగా గోచరించినప్పటికీ ఆత్మతత్వమునందు అందరూ ఒక్కటే అనేటువంటి ఒక సత్యాన్ని కూడాను క్రిస్టియన్ మతము వెల్లడి చేస్తూ వచ్చింది.
క్రిస్టియానిటీ హాస్ డిక్లర్డ్ దట్ ఫిజికలీ స్పీకింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద పాయింట్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ బాడీ దేర్ మే బి డిఫరెన్సెస్, బట్ ఫ్రమ్ ది పాయింట్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ ఆత్మ దేర్ ఇస్ నో డిఫరెన్స్ బిట్వీన్ వన్ బీయింగ్ అండ్ అనదర్.
ఒక్క ప్రభువు యొక్క బిడ్డలే సర్వుని పని కూడాను అందరూ సోదర భావం పెంచుకోవాలని, దైవం యొక్క పితృత్వాన్ని మానవ యొక్క సోదరత్వాన్ని అభివృద్ధి పరచుకొని బోధించారు.
ఇట్ హస్ టాట్ దట్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ ది చిల్డ్రన్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ అండ్ వన్ షుడ్ డెవలప్ బ్రదర్హుడ్ ఆఫ్ హ్యుమానిటీ, దేర్ ఈస్ వన్ ఫాదర్ అండ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ ది చిల్డ్రన్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్.
అదే విధముగానే ఏకోవసి సర్వం, ఈ సర్వత్వాన్ని ప్రబోధించేటువంటి ఒక తత్వము భారతీయ సంస్కృతి యందు అడుగడుగునప్పుడు మనకు జ్ఞప్తి గావిస్తూ వస్తున్నది.
In every step in Indian culture, one comes across the culture reminding us that in every human being there is only one Atma.
Ekam sat vipra bhautavadanti, unnadi okkate kani vinnattamu nee manasika yokka cheryale.
What exists is only one, but whatever you see is only reflection of your own mind.
భగవంతునకు అర్పితము కావలసినటువంటిది ఏకాత్మ భావమే.
వాట్ యు హావ్ టు ఆఫర్ యాజ్ ఎన్ ఆఫరింగ్ టు గాడ్ ఇస్ ఫీలింగ్, ఇస్ ఫీలింగ్ ఆఫ్ వన్ ఆత్మ.
భారతీయులు రెండు హస్తములను చేర్చి నమస్కారము అని ఉచ్చరిస్తుంటారు.
భారతీయస్ బ్రింగ్ బోత్ ది పామ్స్ టుగెదర్ అండ్ అట్టర్ నమస్కార్.
ఈ నమస్కారం యొక్క అంతరార్థం ఏమిటి?
What is the inner significance of this namaskar?
Anekatvani ekattvam chechadame namaskaram yokka antaratham.
Bringing about unity in diversity is the inner significance of namaskar.
Adhe vidhamugane anni matamulu endukodanu Islam matamulo salam annaru.
In Islam they say salam.
సారగా సాలోక్య సారూప్య సామీప్య సాయుధ్య సాయుధ్యము, ఇలాంటి యొక్క సత్తత్వములకు లా అనగా లా అనగా లయము, ఈ అన్నింటి యొక్క తత్వములన లయము గావించడమే సలాం అనేటువంటి అంతరార్థము.
The inner meaning of the word salam is that in the nearness, salokya, in the sameness of the form of God and becoming one with the God, merging in God.
క్రిస్టియన్ మతమునందు కూడాను యేసు అని పిలుస్తూ వచ్చారు.
ఇన్ క్రిస్టియానిటీ దే హావ్ కాల్డ్ యేసు.
ఏ అనగా ఏకం,
ఏ రిఫర్స్ టు వన్నెస్.
సా అనగా దివ్యత్వము,
Saha refers to divinity.
Daivamu okkade.
The meaning is that there is only one God.
Anekamu ledu.
There are not many.
Kanuka ekatvamainatvanti okka divyatvamulo manasika tattvamunu ankitamu gavinchukotame ee okka Yesu yokka antarattham.
The inner meaning of the word Yesu is virgin, the oneness of divinity in every human being.
Jaina matamulandu kudanu ఇదే విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క అంతరార్థాన్ని కూడాను ప్రబోధిస్తూ వచ్చాడు మహావీరు.
మహావీర్ ఆల్సో థాట్ ద సేమ్ ప్రిన్సిపల్ అండ్ టీచింగ్ ఇన్ జైనిజం.
ఇంద్రియములు పలుపలు విధములుగా ప్రవహింపచేసినప్పుడు అనేక విధములైనటువంటి మార్పులు కూర్పులు జరుగుతూ ఉంటాయి.
వెన్ ది సెన్సెస్ గో ఇన్ డిఫరెంట్ డైరెక్షన్స్ వన్ గెట్స్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫీలింగ్స్ అండ్ థాట్స్.
ఈ ఇంద్రియముల యొక్క ఏకత్వాన్ని మనం సాధించినప్పుడే ఇది భిన్నమైనటువంటి ఆత్మతత్వం మనకు అర్థమవుతుంది.
When you bring about unity and integrity of all the senses, then one will be able to understand divinity in its true sense.
As we just heard, the basic truth of spiritual oneness is the anchor point of every religion. Jesus declared, "All are one, be alike to everyone." And Bhagavan says in the term Allah, A stands for Atma and La stands for merging. So Allah truly means merging in the Atman. The Upanishads emphasize the oneness of humanity and they declare Sahasraksha Sahasrapat. All eyes are God's. All feet are His. All hands are His. The ancients also declared Ekam Eva Advitiya Brahma. Bhagavan once very beautifully described, he said they could have as well told Ekam Brahma. Brahma is one. But they knew the type of doubts that will arise in the typical human mind. And so they added the word only. They said, Ekam Eva Brahma. But they knew that still the monkey mind is going to have some sort of distorted interpretation. And then I believe they added, only one, not two. Ekam Eva Advitiya Brahma. To stress on the oneness that underlies the truth. Early 2000, many of us may recall Bhagwan had a swelling on one side of his throat which lasted for almost a fortnight. And at the end of this episode, Bhagwan revealed to us that he had taken upon himself the mumps which would have otherwise affected a primary school child who would not have been able to bear the onslaught of this ailment. During those days, one evening, a few of us happened to be in the interview room with Bhagwan. He was running high temperature and the swelling was shining like a red apple on his neck. And somehow we took courage and one of us made an observation. We said, Bhagwan, you're doing so much for others. You're taking upon the suffering of all humanity. Swami was literally in some other dimension. His eyes were closed. And I thought Bhagwan had not heard this. But I was proved wrong. He had heard this and especially taken note of the phrase, doing so much for others. After a few seconds, Bhagwan opened his eyes and he said, that is in your understanding. He said, for me, there is no others. There is only one. There is only one. Recognizing this cosmic oneness and living in it is true religion. We will now have the pleasure of listening to the final speaker for the day, Dhammachari Dr. B.V. Rajaram. Dhammachari Dr. B.V. Rajaram is an eminent theatre personality. From his childhood, he is connected with theatre. He is an actor, director, organizer, technician, all in one, and a very accomplished theatre teacher since the last four decades. He is a well-known speaker on Buddhism and theatre arts. Currently, since the year 2011, he is the director Rangayana, a theatre institution, Government of Karnataka, Mysore. Dr. Rajaram graduated with BCom and then went on to get a diploma in theatre arts from Bangalore University and passed in distinction. Thereafter, he completed his MA Kannada, MA Sanskrit, MPhil and got a PhD on the subject the Natya Shastra and its influence on modern Indian theatre. He taught as a guest faculty in the Department of Performing Arts, Bangalore University. He was also visiting professor at the Gubbi Veeranna Ranga Peetha at Mysore University. Dr. Rajaram has been instrumental in promoting the famous Kannada theatre troupe Kala Gangotri. He has won many laurels, including the Nataka Academy's Award in 1992. He served as a member of the Karnataka Nataka Academy during the period 1987-1990, and from 2008 till 2011, he assumed the responsibility as the president of the Karnataka Nataka Academy, Government of Karnataka. Talking about his spiritual journey and association with Buddhism, Dr. Rajaram worked in the Mahabodhi Society, Bangalore, a premier Buddhist institution of India, for about 3 decades. He had the great and good fortune of serving the Venerable Acharya Buddha Rakhita, a great Buddhist teacher and meditation master, as his personal assistant. In fact, Dr. Rajaram studied the Pali language and literature under the direct guidance of Venerable Acharya Buddha Rakhita. Dr. Rajaram worked in the translation department of the Buddha Vachana Trust, Bangalore, as a translator. He translated the Pali Tipitaka Granthamala and the Majjhima Nikya Suttas into Kannada language. He also translated the essence of Buddhism, the Dhammapada book, and many other Buddhist books into Kannada language. We now welcome Dhammachari Dr. Rajaram to address all of us.
नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा संबुद्धस्स बुद्धं शरणं गच्छामि धम्मं शरणं गच्छामि संगं शरणं गच्छामि. होमेज टू भगवान श्री सत्य साई बाबा. रेस्पेक्टेड ट्रस्टीज एंड कमिटी मेंबर्स एंड वोटरीज ऑफ सत्य साई भगवान जी. यूनिटी ऑफ फेथ्स, that is where the Indian culture stands today. We have here all the brethren from all over the world listening to the words, voices of Bhagavan Satya Sai Baba. He is the embodiment of love, truth, service to humanity. That is where everyone is here. I've had the privilege of coming to Puttaparthi many occasions, and I had the darshan of Bhagavan. So I am blessed, and I am blessed here today, stand here. That is his blessings. That is why I think. If you just see an idol of Bhagavan Buddha, wherever you go, maybe in pictures, maybe in books, maybe in stone, maybe in painting, you just bow down, revere, see the love, compassion of the Buddha. It is there from last 2500 years ago. It is there. Buddha came to as not an incarnation, as a human being to serve. I will just give you a story how the Buddha's compassion works. I think you all have heard the story of Kisa Gautami. There's a mother, his name was Gautami. She had a child, a very lovable child. So it was playing, and one day the breath was over. The child was lying down. She was not to control her sorrow, grief, lamentation. She was crying all over. Each house she went, please give me my child's life. Everywhere, days together. Then one old man told, please go to Bhagavan Buddha. He is just here. You ask him and he will give you. She was very happy. She went there and bowed down to Bhagavan. Bhagavan, I have lost my child. Please give me. Bhagavan understood. Yes. She's not in her senses. Bhagavan said, yes, I'll give you his life. Please bring a handful of seeds, mustard seeds, from where death has not entered in any of the houses. Yes, she was hope. Bhagwan give her hope. She just went everywhere, any house, every direction, any road, every road. But everyone, every family, every house, they said, no, the day before, the 1 month back, a year back, so many of them have died. She came to Bhagawan and says, Bhagawan, death has entered every house. Then she realizes. Then Bhagawan says, Amma, this is the thing. This is the world. Who has ever born has to die. So she realizes. So that is how Bhagawan gives compassion to a lamented woman, Kisa Gautami. That is where the Bhagawan says. We always go to Bhagawan as Buddham Sharanam Gacchami, Dhammam Sharanam Gacchami, Sangham Sharanam Gacchami. Why we go to Buddha? Why we go to Dhamma and why we go to Sangha? Buddha is the preacher, is the teacher. Then the Dhamma is the thing. It is the essence of life, truth, love, sacrifice, compassion, karuna, metta, mudita. There are so many things in that. And Sangha is the following, which follow the teachings of the Buddha. That is Sangha. Tomorrow is Ashada Purnima. We are all celebrating Guru Purnima. This was started at the time of the Buddha. Because, as you know, the history, Buddha never built buildings. He just made human beings. 61 arhats was prepared. And Bhagavan said, Charata bhikkave charikam bahujana hitaya bahujana sukhaya lokanukampaya hitaya sukhaya. Go bhikkhus, wander forth for the benefit of the many, for the welfare of the many. Go. They are not blinded. There is a dust on their eyes. Please remove that. They will come to you. Please give them Dhamma. Please give them humanness. So he sent his ambassadors of love, ambassadors of truth to people. Like that. That is the day when the Buddha set in motion the wheel of truth. In Satyasaya, Bhagavan's, all the emblem, logo, we see the wheel of truth, the Dhamma Chakka Pavattana. That is tomorrow, the Guru Purnima day is the Dhamma Chakka Pavattana day. The Buddha set in motion the wheel of truth. What is the wheel of truth? What did the Buddha say? You have all know the life of the Buddha. He was there about 6th century BC, 2500 years back. He born at Lumbini, under a tree. He got enlightenment at Gaya, Bodh Gaya, under a tree. He passed away, or Parinibbana, under a tree, at Kusinara. So all these 3 days are blessed by Vaishakha Purnima. Only the Ashada Purnima is the setting in motion of Dhamma. So that is celebrated from the times of the Buddha till now as Guru Purnima. Whoever gives the truth, the light, who bears the torch. So that is the thing. So that is how we, throughout India, anywhere, everywhere, there are thousands of sages, thousands of people who give us good lectures, sermons, teachings, service as models. So we pray for them. That is Guru Purnima. Buddha is a historic figure. He was there as the prince at the place called Nepal. Kapilavastu. In India only. Then he was there as a Rajkumar, having all the glories of life for 29 years. Then he saw a sick man, he saw an old man, he saw a dead man, he saw a monk. All these incidents gave him a vision. Yes, we have all come here for a different purpose. So what is that purpose? What is the question? So he said, I have to find out. So he leaves the palace. He goes out for 6 years. He's in a penance. Then on the 35th year, he gets enlightenment, Bodhi. From then onwards, for the 45 years of his dispensation, till his 80th year, Bhagawan wandered on his bare foot to every nook and corner of the places, taught to people many suttas, many sermons, many discourses. He was the embodiment of compassion always. So Buddha said, okay. In his enlightenment, he got four truths. Yes, four truths he realized. There is suffering. We don't understand there is suffering. We just said there is no suffering, we are happy. But at moments, at times, we see there is suffering. Dukkha, dukkha satcha. Then dukkha samudaya satcha, yes. Why there is dukkha? Because there is craving. We crave for things. We crave for many things. Happiness, luxury, money, name and fame. Everything we crave. From then it starts. So the suffering, wheel of suffering will move and we will in dukkha. Then the third, he says, yes, there is a nirodha. We can, cessation is of dukkha is there. What is the cessation of dukkha? That is the Arya Tangika Magga. That is Buddhism. That means Buddhism or any faith is aimed to give three solaces to human beings. One is human relations or public relations. That is external. The second one is internal purification. And the third is bliss, happiness, peace, shanti, preeti, nemmadi, ananda. If you want to be happy, if you want to be an ananda, that is the fifth level of ananda in Upanishads we get. So that ananda, we need to know, then only the total journey of in any faith we can conclude. So this eightfold path, then we know what is Buddhism or what is the, all the religions say, be good, do good, think good. These are the three things we have to follow. Buddhism says, sabba papasya akaranam. Sabba papasya akaranam. Kusalasya upasampada. Kusalasya upasampada. Sachitta pariyodapanam. Etam buddhanusasanam. This is the three lines, these are the three lines, quintessence of Buddhism. To avoid all evil, to avoid all evil, to cultivate the good, to cleanse one's mind, that is the teaching of the Buddha. There is nothing much. So that is the teaching of the Buddha. That is all the faiths, they are telling, please don't do any evil. Please do all the good, clean your mind. And that is the, all the faiths are telling that. So if you just analyze any religion, especially Buddhism, Buddhism is the religion of mind. The Dhammapada, Gathas 1 and 2 explain మనోపుబ్బంగమాధమ్మ మనోశక్తా మనోమయ మనసాచే పొదుట్టేన భాసతీవా కరోతివా తతో నం చక్కమన్వేతి ఛాయావా అనపాయిని. హి సేస్ ఇఫ్ యు యాక్ట్ విత్ ఎన్ ఇంప్యూర్ మైండ్, ఇఫ్ యు సే విత్ ఎన్ ఇంప్యూర్ మైండ్, ఇఫ్ యు హార్బర్ ఇల్ విల్ థాట్, దెన్ ద ఇంప్యూర్ డీడ్స్ విల్ ఫాలో ద వీల్స్ ఆఫ్ అన్ ఆక్స్. ఆర్ ఇఫ్ యు డూ ఎ ప్యూర్ డీడ్, ఇఫ్ యు హ్యావ్ లవ్, ఫెయిత్, సర్వీస్ టు హ్యుమానిటీ, దెన్ ఓన్లీ ద గుడ్నెస్ విల్ ఫాలో యాజ్ యు ఆర్ నెవర్ డిపార్టింగ్ షాడో ఆఫ్ మ్యాన్. సో బుద్ధిజం ఇస్ కన్సర్న్డ్ ఓన్లీ విత్ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్స్, పర్సన్స్, ఇండివిజువల్ పర్సన్స్. ఇట్ సేస్ ఇఫ్ యు వాంట్ టు చేంజ్ యువర్ మైండ్ ఫ్రమ్ ప్రదుష్టతన, దుష్టతన టు ప్రసన్నతన, ప్రసన్నతే, ఫ్రమ్ దుష్టతే టు ప్రసన్నతే, యు హావ్ టు, దర్ ఇస్ ఓన్లీ వన్ గోల్ ఆర్ వన్ పాత్, దట్ ఈస్ ద మిడిల్ పాత్, డోంట్ గో టు అదర్ పాత్స్. హ్యూమన్ దే హావ్ టూ ఇన్స్టింక్ట్స్, దట్ ఈస్ వన్ ఈస్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్, అనదర్ ఇస్ రిపల్జన్స్. వేర్ టూ ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్స్ వర్క్, దర్ వెరీ వెల్ they are interested in enjoying anywhere, or they just reject, they don't like it. And there are two emotional factors, one is positive, another is negative. What are the positive factors to be cultivated? What are the negative factors to be cultivated? That is Bhagwan Satya Sai Baba has always, as an example, he has set institutions here, education institutions, service institutions, and service above self. We are seeing here from so many decades that love is the highest thing. How can we love others unless we love ourselves? That the Buddha taught. If you don't have love in you, if you don't have hatred, if you have hatred, if you are greed, if you are jealous, the reciprocal is the same thing, because a man is always habitual. He's always habitual. If you just act the same way, if you just think same way, if you say the same deeds, same words, then it becomes the habit. So, by a negative cultivity, your habit is created. In the same way, if you cultivate good things, you practice good things, you think good things, then the good habits will continue. So that is how the Buddha says, from the same action, from the same karma, which can lead you to a different world. By good deeds, from good karma, you come to a good position. So that is how the Buddha says, you always go with good deeds. He has just given very simple truths. They're wonderful, but very difficult to practice, because we are always going away from truths. He says, there is lobha, dosa, moha. Lobha, dosa, moha. Greed, hatred and delusion, or desire, anger and ignorance. Yeah. Lobha, all you know, because whoever is here in India, from the childhood he knows what is lobha, and he knows what is dosa and what is moha. But it is very difficult for us to control lobha, dosa, moha. For that he has given three good principles: sila, samadhi, panya. Bhagwan has given just 5 precepts for us to practice. That means, panatipata, don't kill. Adinnadana, don't steal. Kamesu michachara, don't sexual, there is no sexual misconduct. Musavada, there is no lying. There is no drinking or taking drug. These are the five basic precepts that he has given as Panchashila. Panchashila is not for anybody else. It is for us. It is for the community. It is for the society. It is for the nation. It is for the world. Because hatred. Yes. We are in a situation where nations hate each other. States hate each other. People hate each other. Even in our own families, brothers, sisters, mother, son, daughter, everyone hates each other. So if you don't want to hate, what is the thing? You should have ahimsa. Don't kill. Protect. Protect all beings. That is Buddha said. Don't kill. Give. The second is don't take. But give. Dana. Generous. Always. Then no sexual misconduct, but good behavior. Then always be truthful. No lying, no slandering, no backbiting. So many things we do. No. Be always truthful. Truth alone saves you. Then no mental ill-directed excitement. Yes. We go to every places for our excitement. Fairs, races, everywhere. Drinking, drugging, many things. No. No excitements of ill-directed excitements. Just go to satsangas, bhajans, prayers, divine offerings where you get positive things. So there are five precepts he has given, that is negative, and the positive things that he has told to practice. He has given Panchashila to our all upasak and upasikas, or the household lay followers, then many silas for bhikkhus and bhikkhunis also. So that's how he has given. And he says, be good. How to be good? Goodness is not just telling. It is practicing. Practicing good. Bhagavan says, the good is for you? No. If the good is for others? No. The good is should be to you, to others, and to the whole community. Then only it is good. If it is then you follow it up. So that is how he has given three tests for doing a good deed. Some think that, yes, goodness is for alone. No. So it is for the universe. Then only it becomes a good deed, good action of good deeds. Then sila is for cultivating goodness in our day-to-day life. Then he says, samadhi, that is concentration, meditative absorption. Then punya, wisdom. He says, just think, there is a pot of water. Pot of water, our mind is like a pot filled with greed, delusion, hatred. If you just think hatred is there, then at the top there is hatred, in the middle there is hatred, and the bottom there is hatred. Okay, I'll just remove from the top. No, it is not sufficient. It has to go till the bottom. For that, he says, just think of a tree. You cut out the branches. That means only the external activities of greed, hatred, delusion is cut off. Through your meditational concentration, if you cut off the trunk, then a root still remains. Then if you punya with wisdom, if you can remove all the root cause for lobha, dosa, moha, then only the whole thing which is inherent in you can go out. So Buddha says, all these three have to be practiced. Sila, samadhi, prajna. Bhagavan gives for each one. Everyone has to practice. He says, tummehi kichangata pang akhataro tathagata. Bhagavan can only direct you. He can only give you the light. He can't take you. If you want to come here, if you want to listen to the words of Baba, if you want to take the darshan of Baba, you have to come to Puttaparthi. You have to take this train. So, Bhagavan says, you have to work, you have to exert. If you don't exert, you will not attain anything. So, tumhe, you have to work. So, this is a special task given by Bhagavan, that everyone has to work his own achievements, his own Nibbana, his own moksha, his own happiness, his own ananda. You can't make others happy by your ananda. You should serve. Yes, you are serving. But the other man is not happy. So the other man also should take the inner positive quality of becoming happy. He also to serve, you also to serve. Both will be in a unification and both can get ananda. Otherwise, the other man is not in happiness. So, Bhagavan gives us all these three qualities, Shila, Samadhi, Panya. So, Bhagavan gave us 84,000 bits of knowledge, suttas. You have heard Emperor Ashoka, the great king, the great emperor of India. He has set rock edicts throughout India. In many parts of India, you can just see the rock edicts. He was a Chanda Ashoka. In the war of Kalinga, he has killed lakhs and lakhs of soldiers. After seeing the death of soldiers, he sees. Then he meets a Buddhist monk, Upagupta. Then he becomes Devanam Priya Ashoka. The Chanda Ashoka changes to a Devanam Priya Ashoka. Then he becomes the votary of the Buddha throughout his kingdom, throughout India, throughout Jambudvipa. He sets rock edicts saying, always be compassionate on animals, not only on men. He set hospitals for animals and human beings. And he says, only don't respect your own religion. Don't respect your own religion. Respect the religion of others. Then only you give respect to your own religion. That is the sayings of Ashoka. This is Indian culture. We have never said anybody. We have always said, yes, let the noble thoughts from all directions. Let the noble thoughts come from all directions. Yes. Why noble thoughts? Because each human being to live a noble living. That is the goal of Buddha Dharma or any faiths. So, there are many stories and gathas and scriptures and narrations from Bhagavan Buddha. Bhagavan Buddha, there is no need to tell you about much because you all have you read in books, know the life story of Bhagavan, and for all the 45 years he lived in India, he just gave love, compassion. All his four Brahma Viharas, that is the four meditational absorptions are called Metta, Karuna, Mudita, Upekka. All the four exalted qualities of love only. He has given many suttas. Karaniya Metta Sutta. In that he says, everyone should do Maitri as a mother loves her child, her only child. At what cost it may be, he gives her life to the child. So that's how we should give to every other being, every other fellow being, our goodness, our maitri, our love and our service. So I take this opportunity to thank all the votaries. So you are all blessed to hear Bhagavan's voice. You all have darshans. And I thank once again the trustees and Mr. Nagananda and all others for having given me an opportunity to share a few thoughts on Buddhism. Thank you. Thank you.
Dhammachari Dr. Rajaram and Reverend Father Dominic Emmanuel, we are so thankful to you that you made it possible to come all over here and share with us such wonderful insights and ideals that are prescribed in Christianity and Buddhism. On behalf of Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, on behalf of all the ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters seated here, we express our love and gratitude to all the speakers of this wonderful symposium by which all of us have benefited so much. We started the symposium in the morning with a beautiful Telugu poem sung by Bhagwan on the theme of unity of faiths. It would be most apt to conclude and close the symposium again with his divine blessings and message. Let us listen to an excerpt from Bhagwan's discourse delivered on the 23rd of July, 1989, where he advises all of us, his students, to respect our own religion and never criticize any other religions. Thereafter, we will have bhajans and mangalarti. Thank you.
కనుక వీటికి పేర్లు ఉంటే ఉండుకోని.
లెట్ దర్ బి నేమ్స్.
విద్యార్థులు మాత్రం ఇట్టి భేదమునికి ఎట్టి అవకాశం అందించరు.
స్టూడెంట్స్ షుడ్ నెవర్ గివ్ రూమ్ ఫర్
అన్ని మతములను కూడా గౌరవించాలి.
రెస్పెక్ట్ ఆల్ రిలీజియన్స్.
ఎందుకంటే నీ మతంలో ఏది ఉందో ఇంకా ఎదురు మతంలో అదే ఉంటుండాలి.
ది రీజన్ ఈస్ వాట్ ఎవర్ యు
మీ మతాన్ని నీవు అనుసరిస్తూ గౌరవిస్తూ పోయిందంటే ఒకరినొకరు విమర్శించిన అక్కర్లేదు కదా.
ఈ వీచ్ వన్ ఫాలోస్ వన్స్ రిలీజియన్ దేర్ ఇస్ నో
నీడ్. హిందూ హిందూ అని నువ్వు చెప్పుకుంటున్నావు, నీ మతాన్ని నువ్వు గౌరవించడం లేదు.
You call yourself Hindu, but you do not respect your own religion.
You are Islam matam antunnaru, kaani aa matanni vaallu gauravinchatam ledu.
Today people call that they belong to Islam, but they do not really respect
Christian matam antunnaru, kaani vaallu aa matanni gauravinchatam ledu.
People call they are Christians, they are not respecting
Christianity. Vyaktigatamainatundi oka vishwasamulu ee naadu marpulu chenduthu pothunnayi.
There are differences in understanding and following of the religions these days.
Toti manavulu cheta సోదర మానవునిగా నీవు ప్రవర్తించి జీవించు అని ఇస్లాం మతం.
ఇస్లాం టెల్స్ ట్రీట్ ఎవ్రీ అదర్ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్ యాజ్ యువర్ బ్రదర్ అండ్ కండక్ట్ యువర్
సెల్ఫ్. వారు ఆ విధంగా నడుచుకుంటున్నారా?
బట్ డూ పీపుల్ కండక్ట్ ఇన్ దట్ లైట్ నౌ?
లేదు.
నో, సర్టన్లీ నో.
క్రిస్టియన్ మతం ఒక చెంప కొట్టే రెండవ చెంప అందించు అని అంత సహనభావాన్ని నిరూపించాడు.
క్రిస్టియానిటీ ఈజ్ టీచింగ్ ఫర్బరెన్స్. If anyone slaps,
కాబట్టి వారి వారి మతమును వారు ఊడుకుంటున్నారే కానీ ఆచరించడం లేదే.
దే క్లెయిమ్ ఏ పర్టికులర్ రిలీజియన్,
మతమును వారు గౌరవించడం చాలా మంచిది.
ఈచ్ వన్ షుడ్ రెస్పెక్ట్ హిజ్ ఓన్ రిలీజియన్.
ఇతర మతములు కూడా గౌరవించడం మంచిది.
రెస్పెక్ట్ అదర్స్ రిలీజియన్.
ఒకవేళ గౌరవించడం నీకు ఇష్టం లేనప్పుడు ఊరుకుండు, అంతేకాని దాన్ని విమర్శించవద్దు.
ఇఫ్ యూ డు నాట్ వాంట్ రెస్పెక్ట్ డస్ నాట్ మ్యాటర్, డోంట్ క్రిటిసైజ్.
ఈ విధమైనటువంటి విశాల భావాన్ని పెంచుకోవటమే ఈనాటి విద్యార్థులు ఎందు అత్యవసరం.
స్టూడెంట్స్ షుడ్ డెవలప్ దట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ రెస్పెక్ట్. దిస్ ఇస్ ఎ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ థింగ్ విచ్ స్టూడెంట్.
ఈనాటి విద్యార్థులే భావి భారతోద్ధారకులు.
టుడేస్ స్టూడెంట్స్ ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు బి టుమారోస్.
ఎవరి ఎందు కానీ, ఎట్టి మతం నందు కానీ, దేశము కానీ, భేదం కానీ మీరు పాటించరాదు.
డు నాట్ అబ్జర్వ్ ఎనీ డిఫరెన్స్ ఆర్ ఎనీ హేట్రెడ్ అగెన్స్ట్ ఎనీ రిలీజియన్.
అన్ని మతములు ఎందు ఉండేటువంటి సారం ఒక్కటే అని నేను తీసుకో.
రిమెంబర్ దట్ ది ఎసెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ రిలీజియన్స్ ఇస్ వన్ అండ్ ద సేమ్.
మీరు ఒక మతమును మరొక మతంగా విమర్శించకండి.
డు నాట్ క్రిటిసైజ్ అదర్స్ రిలీజియన్.
ఈ దూషణ అనేటువంటిది చాలా ప్రమాదం.
క్రిటిసిజం ఈజ్ రాదర్ డేంజర్.
నీవు ఏదో ఒక మతమును దూషిస్తున్నావని చెప్తున్నావు కానీ నీ మతాన్ని నీవు దూషించిన వాడవుతావు.
వెన్ యు క్రిటిసైజ్ సమ్ ఎల్స్ ఆఫ్ రిలీజియన్, యువర్ క్రిటిసైజింగ్ యువర్ ఓన్ రిలీజియన్.
అందరికీ ఒక నమస్కారం చేయండి.
ఆఫర్
సర్వజీవ నమస్కారం కేశవం ప్రతిగచ్చతే. అందరికీ చేసిన నమస్కారం నా కేశవునికే చెల్లుతుంది.
ది ప్రాస్ట్రేషన్ ఆఫర్ టు ఎవ్రీవన్ విల్ అల్టిమేట్లీ రీచ్ కేశవ అలోన్.
Shri Ganesh Rakshana. ganesh rakshama
Yeah. Yeah.